I'm Carlos Virgen, and this is The Storyline, produced by The Day in New London, Connecticut. The Day continues to talk to communities of color in our region, to hear their thoughts on the recent protest against police violence and the discussions around racism and race inequality that have been highlighted by recent events, including the death of George Floyd at the hands of police and the COVID-19 pandemic, which has disproportionately affected people of color. Recently, reporter Julia Bergman spoke via Zoom with social worker Janelle Posey Green to talk about the trauma of racism and what she is doing to help the Black community cope.
So thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me. For starters, I wanted to ask you where the idea for the initiative came from and sort of how it came together.
So the idea for the initiative came because I'm a licensed clinical therapist, and I see about 25 clients a week. And the ongoing theme between my clients and the things that I'm seeing on social media is a lot about racial trauma and the stress that my clients and other people like my clients and myself included are seeing on the consistent basis between the news, COVID-19, the unfortunate incidents that are happening with the police brutality, and just everyday microaggressions that people of color have to deal with. So I thought it might be a cool idea to find out if other clinicians were passionate about this like I was. And I run a few Facebook groups. So I put some feelers out there to see, hey, would anybody, I have this idea. Would anybody be interested in helping support this idea? And we could come together and do this for our community. Quite often when big things happen, when we've seen things at bigger scales, we'll see places like emergency mobile crisis units come out and offer free services to people around, you know, either the state or the United States. But so far, I haven't really seen anything like that. So my idea came from that, meaning like, you know, I feel like we have a crisis right now, a mental health crisis, and we need to mobilize and make it accessible, make it free, and make it easy for people to want to join in if they wanted to.
And can you talk about how racism is a type of trauma and how even micro racial aggressions can cause PTSD symptoms?
Absolutely. So there is a concept by Dr. Joy DeGruy called post-traumatic slave syndrome. Now, that syndrome basically states that over generations of time, these atrocities that have happened to great-great-grandparents, grandparents, and then it trickles down to what you see here today, no one's ever gotten any actual mental health support. So if you want to start at slavery a little bit after slavery, no one said, hey, that was hard. That was mentally exhausting, physically exhausting. That was abusive. Let's get some support. They had to just pick up and carry on. Over time, if you're having these issues that are so traumatic, it's going to bleed into other areas and it's going to bleed into the family system. So when you have generations after generations that have experienced so much trauma, you know, it impacts your thinking, it impacts your way of life, it impacts everything. So that coupled with, you know, the overt racism sometimes that happens when you're just basically trying to find a job, being asked on a smaller scale, like a microaggression, like, hey man, I can't pronounce your name. Do you have a nickname that I can call you? Or they take it upon themselves sometimes to say, I can't pronounce that. I'm going to call you this, as if those things are okay. So the microaggressions, I feel like, can hurt you just as much, especially cumulatively over time, as the bigger overt things that we're seeing right now on social media, where people are actually seeing someone who looks just like them, someone who looks like their father, someone who looks like their brother, being killed right in front of them.
on that note of the imagery, I mean, these acts of racism are increasingly being captured, you know, by video or cell phone footage, pictures. And can you talk about what that does, what kind of impact that has on the Black community and also their mental health to see those images?
It's hurtful. It's very hurtful. Unfortunately, I feel like a lot of times because we're familiar with the word trauma, but it's not very likely that people understand what trauma actually looks like, because it's not always spoken about in a way that's accepted regularly. So from what I find from a clinical standpoint is people are being traumatized through these images, through these videos. And honestly, it started before we started seeing the live action videos. If you look at some of the things that you see from, like when you saw, you know, some of our ancestors being hung from trees or tied to trees or shackled to things, or, you know, those images have power. And, you know, over time, that staining begins to stress you out. And trauma is a stress. It's a reaction to extreme stress. So over time, those images begin to take its toll mentally, physically. I personally, in my practice, have been seeing people saying, you know, I have no more energy, or I feel numb. I'm scared. I'm feeling, you know, angry, and then not having a place to feel like they can let it out appropriately. Part two of the problem is not being validated. So if someone chooses to speak on these topics where they're starting to know that they're not okay, then they're not being validated on a consistent basis and on a bigger scale.
Can you elaborate on what you mean by that? Because other people are pushing back and saying, no, racism isn't happening, or I'm not seeing anyone being racist.
So things exactly like what you just say, that lack of validation, like it's the year 2020, we don't have racism anymore. Or what was the person wearing? What was the person doing? Well, if they would just stay silent or be respectful, that this wouldn't have happened. That you know, people don't just do things like that. They had to be doing something. Mm-hmm. The constant invalidation that our stories aren't true, and not feeling like you could, you know, really tell your truth in a way that will actually matter, is stressful.
Can you talk a little bit about what's gone on in these forums? I don't want to invade anyone.
No, you're not invading. The beauty of the forums is it's going to give people who otherwise wouldn't have had the chance or the money, because not everybody can afford therapy, to be able to express what they're feeling collectively. And each forum will be slightly different than the other, because each forum has a different set of professionals. When I put this together, I designed teams. So the teams have, you know, varied professionals. Some of them are doctors. We had a doula in mine, and she was fabulous. I mean, think about it. When you're pregnant and you're about to give birth, that's super stressful. So she was able to walk us through an exercise that she does with her clients to be able to help reduce stress in the moments that they're feeling it in their body. So they can actually take that same skill set and use it when they're feeling overwhelmed by whatever they're seeing, whether it's an image or someone invalidating their experience. So each forum is designed for us to give our voice, let ourselves be heard by each other, and then give some tangible skills that they can use to be able to help support their anxieties. Part two of this is not a substitute for therapy. So I do have a list that I created myself of clinicians of color around the state and healers. It's called actually CT Therapists and Healers of Color, to be able to find someone more easily that way they can, if they want additional support, they could get it. And I also put together a resource list of things that they could possibly do, websites they could go to, books they could possibly read. So that way they have something, someplace to start anyway.
Mm-hmm. Would you be able to share that with me so that I can include it with the article?
Yes. And thank you for even wanting to put it in there. Thank you.
Yeah. No, of course. And you mentioned a little bit about what you're hearing from your clients. What are some of the participants saying on these calls as far as what they're feeling right now and what they're thinking about?
So my particular clients are still working. So on top of the issues that they're seeing on social media, they're working and they're dealing with a pandemic. So trying to maneuver both of those big events can feel almost impossible. So a lot of the people that I'm personally working with are having anxiety, sleep disturbances, dreams that are sometimes they are relevant to what's going on. Sometimes it's like, I don't know where that came from, but it's definitely tied in as a stress response to what is going on.
And I understand that at least the first one had over 50 participants and people from all over, not just Connecticut.
Yes. And, I feel like that's a bigger indicator that we maybe hopefully will inspire other clinicians from other states to do something similar.
And you have, because you have at least over 25 clinicians here in the state of Connecticut that are involved with this initiative.
I do. Wow. And I have a few that are working behind the scenes to help stay organized as well.
Right. And I know you had mentioned that you're planning another forum for those who are non-Black who would like to be allies.
The goal for the forum for our allies is, a lot of us do have people that we know care about us, but sometimes they don't know what to do to help. And then when they want to help, sometimes the things that they may say or do can be misconstrued as insensitive. So the goal, it's going to be half them being able to vent and then the other half them asking questions and part education. So they understand cross-culturally when they say certain things that this isn't, for instance, I don't see color, I just see you, that's well-intended, but it's also slightly disrespectful to the fact that you may not see me as a color, but your colleague definitely insulted me based on my culture and color. So just giving a little education and trying to, bridge that gap of understanding the culture.
How this impacts children and whether trauma plays out differently in children than it does in adults.
Yes, it does. So this is affecting children. I've had a lot of neighbors, peers, people that are friends with me on Facebook reach out to me and ask, hey, I'm noticing changes in my child. They're asking me questions. What should I actually tell them? Some of the things that they're noticing are hyperactivity, mood swings. A lot of times kids are misdiagnosed when they're actually been traumatized. They are misdiagnosed as having something like ADHD because of the hyperactivity, because kids don't always have the words to express what they're feeling. So sometimes they'll use their bodies to do it. It could come off as aggression. It could come off as, like I said before, extreme hyperactivity. So the things that I've been telling other people who reach out and ask, what should I actually tell my child, is one, make it age appropriate. Two, maybe talk more about the culture versus the culture versus the race, because what we do know is race is typically seen by how brown you are, right? Or lack of pigment. So every single quote unquote race has a diaspora. It has a gradient from very light to very dark, for the most part. So if you talk about culture is a more important factor. And that's a lot of times when people are being prejudiced, they're being prejudiced more against, of course, you can be prejudiced someone's color, but they're also being prejudiced against what they believe the person's culture is about.
And how have you personally been feeling, and what have you been thinking about recently?
I have two children. I have a husband, and I have brothers. I'm the only girl of my parents have five of us, and I'm the only girl. So I have brothers, and I want my brothers and my husband and my son to be safe. I want to live in a world that includes us. I want my daughter to grow up and be confident that if she is going for a job, that they're not going to tell her she didn't get it because she doesn't fit their criteria of what they think a Black person should be, that she genuinely either didn't get it because she didn't qualify, or that job just may not have been for her. So I'm hopeful that one day with all this organization, not just mine, but other people, my peers, that we will live in that world.